We can reduce the consumption of oil, 6 million barrels a day. We've invented products that improve combustion. And when you improve combustion, you are reducing emissions, greenhouse gases, and that black smoke that you see coming out of exhaust, which is inherent in air quality issues all over the world.
So welcome back to the Green Hour. We are here at the Concordia Annual Summit during Climate Week, New York City. We're sitting here with Ben Richardson, CEO of Solnox. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Preston. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so I guess first question, tell us about your company and what you do.
Okay, so if I look at my career, I was an investment banker for many years, but the company that we now lead is engaged in reducing the consumption of fossil fuels. So if you think about it, all gasoline and petrol products, diesel products, marine fuels, and even heating oils and aviation fuels. And the way we do this is we've invented products that improve combustion. And when you improve combustion, you are reducing emissions, both greenhouse gases and that black smoke that you see coming out of exhaust, which is inherent in air quality issues all over the world. But Solnox today, we're a UK-listed company. So our shares are traded in the UK, but we're also traded on the OTC here in the States. And we're doing very well. We're a startup company, but we have about a dozen staff, but we're able to make an enormous impact on the climate. So if you think about what we can do, we can reduce the consumption of oil about 6 million barrels a day. If you look at the emission side, removing about 850 million tons of CO2 should everybody use the product. So that's equivalent of all of the transportation of Europe, to give you an idea, or the footprint of India.
So tell me about these products. How does that work? Like, how did you develop something that can achieve those things that you're talking about?
Yeah. So the product was invented by the son of a 6 times world motorbike champion.
Oh.
So he was a kid that grew up in the pit lane, sucking spanners and working out how to make a motorbike work better. He invented the product, and we've developed it today to be the solution that is now sold in over 40 countries across the globe. But the technology itself is based on emulsification. So fuel is what we call hydrophilic. It attracts water. So there's always small amounts of water in the fuel. And what we do is we emulsify that water into the fuel. And then that water, when it goes into the combustion chamber, will vaporize. And it will take what is a big fuel particle and make it into smaller particles, which will burn more completely. And when you have a more complete combustion, that's when you're reducing consumption. That's when you're reducing emissions and improving air quality. But the product's really clever. It's patented in over 50 countries now. And it also cleans and lubricates the engine. So, you know, combustion's a dirty business. And by adding detergency, we clean all of the carbon deposits associated with poor engine performance. And we also add lubricity. So if you think about fuel, it used to have a high sulfur content. And sulfur used to be the lubricant that enabled parts to move better. Now, what we're doing is with the removal of sulfur for air quality issues, we are adding now back in a lubricity provider. So all the mechanisms in the engine are working better. So more efficient engines, improving combustion together, that it leads to fuel savings, 8 to 10% in land-based vehicles or generators and such like, and 5% in marine fuels, which are a bit thicker. So very clever chemistry, all organic green chemistry, and making an amazing impact on fuel consumption.
So I guess who would your customers, your clients be? I'm guessing it's B2B. Is this the automotive companies themselves?
So we have a product which is able to work with every combustion engine on the planet. So it can be cars that you and I drive. It can be trucks, trains, buses. But the biggest market for us is shipping. So these giant container ships, you know, the size of the Empire State Building, they can burn over 100 tons of fuel a day. So an enormous
just coming across the ocean.
Yeah, just you know, doing their transportation. Right. And for them, a 5% fuel saving can be $1 million saving per annum. So you get to see the scale and the impact that we can make. But it's mining as well. The big trucks and machines machinery that excavates the raw materials that we need. Indeed, we can even move into aviation as well.
Yeah, no, aviation, the big topic right now is sustainable aviation fuel, so yeah. SAF.
Yeah.
So I guess your product would play directly into that.
Well, we're able to help with all biofuels, so be it biodiesels or fuels that are getting increasingly put into marine usage. And the reason is because every one of these liquid hydrocarbons, they all burn ineffectively, which is why you get the black smoke that comes out of an exhaust. So even with those biofuels and sustainable aviation fuels, we can improve the combustion, and that will reduce the consumption and indeed the emissions as well. So it's something that we are looking to get into. We are a company that's really only in the last 4 or so years developed the science and got the accreditation, and now we're growing. And one of the areas we want to expand into is both the biofuels, where I think we can be thought leaders, and then into the sustainable aviation fuels themselves.
Well, no, I mean, these companies have massive sustainability goals and sustainability targets. So I know all the airlines across the board, most of them are trying to find that solution. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But it's an industry which obviously has a lot of high standards in terms of testing.
Yeah.
And we've really got to find partners that are willing to be innovative with us. We know we don't take the aviation fuel outside of specification, so it means that it's safe. But it still doesn't mean that anyone wants to try it on a commercial venture in the short term. But I'm hopeful that it's something that we can find partners with.
I wonder in the aviation industry how long that testing is. Because you just think about all the people that, I guess, are at risk, right, when you get on a plane.
Well, it's the same across the whole board, really. If we're putting Sonox into a marine vessel, the same way they don't want the engine to break or have an issue, and they end up crashing on a coral reef or having an oil spill or something. But I'm pleased to say that not only have we now got hundreds of vessels trying the product, using the product, but we're also cleaning the engine. So we're actually, instead of having that fear of issues, we're actually demonstrating cleaner, more efficient engines. So it's an actual mechanical benefit as well as a fuel saving as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of the conversations we've had at Concordia this year have been around the energy transition.
Yes.
So I do want to understand, as certain industries are trying to go towards renewable energy as a solution, where does your company fit in the whole conversation of the energy transition?
So I like to describe us as the energy transition solution. So because we're able to make such a meaningful impact on the consumption of fossil fuels and reduce emissions, we're able to make such an impact today so that the problems of tomorrow are reduced. So if everyone, as I said, was to use the product, it could make a huge impact on the climate crisis. But to answer your question, I mean, I'm all for electric cars. They're a great idea. If you can get power from a more efficient power station and you can charge your cars, fantastic. That's what we should be doing. But cars are unique in the fact that they're 2 tons in weight, maybe American cars a bit more, but they sit motionless 90% of the time. So they're very easy to power with a battery. But today's, even the best batteries, they're 10,000 times less energy dense than fossil fuels. So they're not effective for long-range trucks. Certainly not for marine and definitely not aviation, where you'd have to have a considerable weight associated with those batteries if they were going to ever be used. But look, the reality is that there's not anything that is a viable solution today. Yes, we can have electric cars. Great, we should do that. But if you look at many of the alternative fuels out there, particularly in the marine sector, we have green methanol, green ammonia, and we have hydrogen more ubiquitously. But it's not available at scale. It's not available for everybody to adopt tomorrow. It needs a whole new infrastructure associated. The fossil fuel industry has been building its infrastructure for the last 125 years, and it's not something that can be easily replicated with something new. Hydrogen has difficulties to store. It's, it makes steel brittle. And so, there's lots of things to overcome before the world can adopt a sustainable solution like hydrogen, which I hope we get to at some stage. So we are the solution for today, and indeed for the next 15, 20 years, because we're not anywhere near peak oil yet. So whilst we in the Western world have had our industrial revolution and we're all, using a lot of fossil fuels, the whole emerging markets of the world, they've still got to have theirs. And as a result, there's a huge amount of fossil fuels that are going to be burnt. And, it's going to keep increasing. And what we've got is a solution that can enable their industrial revolution or their growth without having the same level of harm that we've done to the environment.
I do want to understand, I would say, some of the challenges, right, that you face maybe going to these large industries. I mean, we talked about aviation, how that's kind of a growth area, and how testing might be, like the testing process, the length of testing might be something that's a challenge. But I do want to understand how you go to these major industries and talk about this solution, because a lot of them are just business as usual. And you're trying to get them to shift, and you have a great solution, but I'm sure that you see a lot of opposition, I would say, when you go to them.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, as we say. So nobody gets fired for keeping the status quo.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's actually conferences like this one in New York with Concordia that enables me to meet people who are innovative, who are willing to embrace new technologies and try them out. To your point, we often find technical managers in shipping, for instance, who say, well, that's it sounds like a great solution, but I'm not putting it in my ship until somebody else has put it in theirs. And luckily, we found innovators. We've got great partners like Eastern Pacific Shipping, which is one of the largest shipping fleets on the planet, who've tried the product. They've experienced that 5% fuel saving, the cleaner engines, and they are now adopting it across their fleet. And with those case studies, with those early adopters, we're now able to grow faster. But yes, to your point, it's not easy at all.
I can just imagine those conversations, right? Yeah. And I'm the saying is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink. Exactly. So I'm sure you see that.
And we have compelling metrics. I mean, the one I mentioned to you, a single container ship saving $1 million per annum, but still there's a reluctance to try it. Often, fuel, it's seen as a cost of doing business. So if the fuel price changes, you just pass it on to your end user.
Exactly.
And so it's not always obvious what the benefit is to the those that, even if they want to reduce their consumption, how they can benefit from it.
So one of the final things I do want to talk about is what's next, right? What's next for the company? Again, we talked about aviation as being that kind of area in the future. And I think that makes a lot of sense with sustainable aviation fuel and the push. But where do you see your organization scaling? What other industries do you want to go into in the future?
So we've launched an innovation arm called Sonox Innovations, and this is to develop new products. One of the key products we'll be developing is around the biofuels. So biofuels are even more hydrophilic than standard fuel. So they attract a lot of water, and because of the bio content, the water will separate out, and you'll get issues with fungi and bacteria growing on the fuel and making it unusable. Mm. So with the Sonox technology, we can actually make those biofuels last longer and keep them more stable. And this is something I want to be a thought leader in. Mm. But I really want to try and push even further incentivization. I want to get carbon credits. We're an immediate solution that can make a meaningful impact on the world's emissions today. And it's only right that we should be able to have an incentive rather than just a regulatory cost. And that will enable me to get wider adoption much quicker. But on a bigger scale, there's a lot of countries in the world who import fuel. If you're an African nation or even a Caribbean nation and you're importing fuel, if you're importing 10% less fuel, imagine what that does for your economy. Imagine that it does. You can, you know, make the electricity bills cheaper for your population. And also, you know, by reducing the black smoke and the nitrous oxides that we do, you're improving the air quality as well.
People's health,
exactly,
their well-being.
Exactly. So, yeah, the climate crisis, as they say, is also a health crisis.
Exactly.
And we're able to deal with both of those.
Well, I think the best solutions in, let's say, sustainability in the climate space are ones that can kind of bridge the environmental and the economic.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's exactly what you've done.
Yeah. So we're very fortunate. We've got a product that saves the users money, but it also reduces emissions. And increasingly, it forms part of a sustainability write-up. So if you look at mining companies, they are going to keep using diesel forever, right? There's no solution other than diesel for a lot of remote industries. We're giving them a way to reduce their consumption and therefore their costs, but also to provide a sustainability angle for reducing emissions. And if you look in South America, for instance, there's often people located around mines. So the pollution is going straight into those communities, and we're able to provide that sustainability angle as well.
Well, Ben, we can't thank you enough for coming on today. And you've taught me a lot. There's a lot I didn't know that now I do. So I really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank
it's a great interview. Thank you.
Yes.